Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom.
life at Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I am your hostess. The music you were listening to at the beginning of the show there is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shimshai, a wonderful group that I met in the Sedona, Arizona area a few years back, and they're traveling around the world enjoying following their passion and sharing their music and the love and the light with the world now. I just want to say welcome, whether you're joining us for the first time or whether you're returning and you've listened to previous shows that I've done here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. What we do here on this show is I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I am discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life and how it affects our life and the different areas of compassion. Some weeks I'm doing more exercises and practical implementations. Particularly this year, I oftentimes have guests on the show so that you can learn about their work and how other things are complementing and working with compassion. And then I also highlight different musical artists along the way. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had Peter Kater on the show, 8-time Grammy nominee. Also, another Grammy nominee in the Best New Age Artist category was Stephen Halpern. He was on earlier this year. I've also had Jill Mattson and Claire Hedin on. So lots of great artists coming along the way and that have been on. If you've missed those shows, go back, catch them in the archives. Also, you know, that's kind of the flow of our show here. So it's got a variety of different things. And every now and then I offer a little bit of coaching or something like that, or you can catch me on one of the other host shows joining in and doing some coaching and readings and things as well. Now, in my own work, what I do is I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you may have experienced on previous shows. And actually, one of our other hosts, Kevin Baird, did a great show with me where we used the Genesis Clearing Statement and really got into explaining it. That was about a year ago. It was, I believe, September of last year. So you can go back and check that out in our archives if you'd like to find out more about that. I've also authored two books titled Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion in the Workbook, soon to be releasing my next set of books, which is based on relationships. And in addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And those pieces are coming together a little at a time. I'm gradually working some things in for 2014, and I currently have an event set up where I'm going to be speaking in Colorado at the Matriarch Gathering. And if you'd like to find out more about that, you can go to thematriarchgathering.com. There's still a few tickets left. They sell out pretty quickly, though, so if you're interested in that, check that out. There are actually a day or two or a couple of things there that men can also participate in, so it's not just exclusively women on that event. And that's going to be absolutely wonderful. It's the first weekend of October. October 4th through 6th on that. Now, just a reminder, if you enjoy the show this evening, make certain that you tell your friends, family, significant others, share it with those social media contacts out there. Let them know, because you just never know who is in need of hearing the message that we have on here tonight. And I find that a lot of times I'll put something out and somebody will respond back and it'll be like, hey, this was the perfect thing I needed to hear today. So go ahead and share it. And they can just use the same link, by the way, to get into our live, that they use to get in the live show. They use that same link to listen to it in the archives, and they can do that at their convenience. There's a couple of places they can find the archive shows. One of them is on my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number 1.com. And there's a Main Street Universe tab there. Just find my name on there. All of my archive shows are on there. You can also go to facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes, and all the archive shows are there as well. Now, before we get started on everything, I'd like to, as those of you who have listened before delve into the 72 Names of God, Technology for the Soul by Yehuda Berg. Absolutely love his work. And what I like to do is I like to kind of do a random opening, because I always feel like those random messages are the ones that just really, you know, kind of come to us. They're kind of divinely inspired. I guess that should be inspired instead. And what it does is it just kind of shows the synchronicity, how synchronicity works, which is part of our topic tonight, divine synchronicity. So let's take a look and see what the message is Yehuda has tonight. Okay, and what I've got opened up to tonight is, oh, I think this is going to be perfect for our guest. Enough is never enough. And the note that goes with this is, we compromise in life. We settle for less. We sell out. As soon as we experience some enjoyment, and we wind up selling ourselves short. This name is about seizing the whole enchilada. And then he goes on with his insight on this, and it says, two realities exist, darkness or light. We can be in one or the other, but we tend to loiter in the gray areas. When we do achieve a little light in our lives, we tend to excuse the little bit of darkness that we're still indulging. But we came here to have it all. The goal is to banish all darkness and bask in absolute light. Sure, we'd like to believe that we are big thinkers, but in truth, we think small. It doesn't matter if there are billions of dollars in our bank accounts, or if we're running a Fortune 500 company, or running an entire country for that matter. Thinking big means to seek it all. Permanent happiness, spiritual greatness, eternal joy, our true soulmate, immortality, and peace on earth forevermore, and to let go of everything else that prevents us from reaching that promised land. $50 billion pales in comparison to never-ending fulfillment and a joy-filled eternal existence. If we don't genuinely believe that these are attainable goals and our destiny, then we can't ever tell anyone that we know how to think big, because the ego, the dark side of human nature, just duped us into thinking small. Everything is possible. When we believe it, we will see it. I find this very interesting to read this, because our guest tonight brings that very phrase up in her books. And then the meditation that Yehuda offers with this is, your eyes and heart remain focused on the end goal at all times. You awaken the persistence and passion to never, and that means never, ever settle for less. Now, the name of God, the common name or the common phrase here is enough is never enough. The way this is pronounced is Daled Nunyud. Okay, that's Daled Nunyud. And this information is actually going to be on my webpage, my Main Street Universe page on my website. So you can always go back and read it during the week, and that will give you some great refreshment. You know, if you want to go back and freshen up on the message for the week, and it will be there where you can go in and check it out for yourself. Now, getting on towards our topic tonight, one of the things that we're delving into is tapping into our God self. And part of that has to do with divine synchronization. So what is divine synchronization? It seems to have a very important part in our evolution or emerging processes. This appears to be a point where the soul recognizes its divinity and accepts it as part of itself. It is also able to reflect and know where it has come through and consciously understand the processes that have happened in order for it to get to this point. Now, I believe that certainly there is further growth beyond this point, and this is not the end-all state of bliss as some would think it to be. For many, I think that they have had touches of this in their lives. However, The real challenge seems to be in maintaining the state of existence and growing even further. It takes both a conscious active process and the ability to simultaneously let go. However, does the striving for divine synchronization pull us out of the present too much for us to really get there and remain? My thought is, like many things in life, this is also a process, one that takes practice, perhaps much like trying to ride a bicycle for the first time. We've seen others do it, we know it is possible, and yet learning to establish our own balance in a way to be able to ride for distances takes practice. If this is true, then each connection that we get in this synchronization helps us refine our skills in a way that eventually we can ride with it for about as long as our physical body will allow us to. It is in these undiscovered journeys that we find all kinds of treasures and wonders, just like when we learn to ride a bike. We can make all kinds of new discoveries because we open ourselves to going more places through the process of learning how to ride it. The same seems to be true with divine synchronization. We open ourselves to discover things that were closed off to us before. Reverend Dr. Linda DeCoff addresses this as part of her work in Bridge of the Gods and talks about these very processes. She provides an example that is like a balloon, saying that divine synchronization is like a balloon that has been expanded and can then soar. I like the concept that this synchronicity is part of how our soul soars. What are your experiences with divine synchronization? How has it opened your eyes, heart, senses, soul to connecting on a spiritual level? Do you have things that have helped you maintain the synchronization with divinity? What value is there in having divine synchronization? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of creating a new world. This reminds us that we have the choice to create the kind of world that we want. It reminds us that we are the creator of our life and have the ability to help others create a life that they love. Our guest tonight helps people to connect with the divine source within them and to create divine synchronicity. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I will have Reverend Dr. Linda DeCoff. She will be sharing her work with us in how to connect with Christ consciousness and the divine source within us. And the song that I have for you during our break is called Wells Cathedral. It's by Claire Hedin. If you missed the show that I did with Claire, you can actually catch it in the archives. It was the last show of 2012, and you can also check out more of her work at www.clairehedin.com. That is clarehedin.com. We'll be back shortly. Thank you. Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George. I am your hostess this evening. You were just listening to Wells Cathedral by Claire Hedin, and if you'd like to find out more about her music, you can do so on her website at www.clairehedin.com, and that is C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And I'd like to bring on my guest tonight, Reverend Dr. Linda DeCoff, noted founder of New Thought Institute of New York and New Thought International, Incorporated, an association of global centers for world peace and enlightenment. She is also the celebrated author of Divine Prosperity, Secrets to the Kingdom, Living the Miracle Consciousness, Songs of Eternity, Contemplations, Meditations, and Treatments on the Word of God, and Bridge of the Gods. Dr. Linda has been honored at the United Nations and spoke on universal spirituality, advanced consciousness themes all over the world. And we are going to be looking tonight at her work with Bridge with the Gods and how to elevate into the higher God self and Christ consciousness. You can learn more about her work at www.revdrlindadecoff.com, and that's revdrlindadecoff.com, as well as www.revdrlindadecoff.authorexpress.com. And you can find both of those at the bottom of the show description, so you should be able to link right into her site from that. And I'm going to go ahead and get her mic opened up here tonight. And Dr. Linda, it's wonderful to have you here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Well, thank you so much, Jessie. It's my pleasure to be here, and I thank you for having me here. And I just want to say that music is so wonderful that you've chosen for the show tonight, I'm sure every night, but it really stirs, you know, it stirs the divine memory, those beautiful sounds, it just stirs the light and the memory within. So, and it was very interesting when you read the reading that you read. I had been thinking one of the notes that I thought was so important, you know, to encapsulate for people, is to get to a place where you're bringing the awareness of your eternal self with you in all situations. With you in all situations. And, you know, to get to that point, we have to realize that we are more than meets the eye. You know, that we're not just material being with hands, feet, and so on, brains, and however else you describe the manifest part of us. But there is that within us which is the engine behind it all, and that passes through time, space, events, experiences, lifetimes, maybe here, there, or anywhere. But there is that within us which is eternal, ongoing, and is never, it's a mistake that people have a case of mistaken identity, you know, with tunnel vision focused on the things of the moment. I am the things that happened to me. I am, you know, my background. I am the things that I do. And in fact, we are eternal spirit, you know, engaging in experiences of the moment. But we are not that. We are something so far greater. We are that eternal beingness manifest in the now.
And I think that's so important, and I bring that up a lot of times with people in the work that I do as well in compassion, in that, you know, of course I can love a person even when they've made some bad decisions and actions, because it's the person I still love. It's just the actions that I don't like, and we do forget to separate
them.
We separate them with ourselves as well as others.
Yes, and why can we love? You know, what gives us the power to get over things, to rise above, to transcend, to forgive, to let go, to release? Which is, these are all the tools of liberty in life, so that you're never stuck in any circumstance or event that comes into your life, but is the power to transcend, get over, and get over things, is because we are that love. Because we are a divine father, mother. We are the progeny. And, you know, from my point of view, we're here in this earthy plane to, through conflict, through choices, through making higher choices, for instance, when we can make the lower, we are cultivating that divine nature which is already within us, in through the experiences that we're working on. And because the essence of us is divine love, and love is all life and is all power, the more we are practicing that love in our situations, even when we, you know, have a difficult situation, most importantly there, to be able to love that person, that condition, and realize it's just evolving. You do not have to take it within yourself. You do not have to lodge negative feeling within yourself, but you have the tool to forgive, to let go, to realize everyone's getting there at some point. You know, everyone is getting there. And I also use the phrase, we're all in it together, and some are moving faster and some are moving slower, and there's, you know, weaknesses and so on that need to be overcome to rise up where you can be that embodiment of divine love all the time. Like, you know, the rose is in the seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No one sees the fully grown, manifest, beautiful rose. When you put that seed in the ground, and our ground is our daily experience, where we have the opportunity to activate the divine qualities and to make the greater choices. But that is where, you know, in the ground of experience and in the ground of the actions we choose and so on, we are actually, you know, blooming that rose that is already there, perfect, complete, and whole from within, but it must be brought out and demonstrated in experience. So I think for people listening, it's just very important to know that you are the rose in the God seed, you know. You are it. And through cultivating yourself emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, by tuning up to the divine patterns that operate this entire universe in perfection, that's when you step into that, you know, synchronous existence. Because you
right.
have raised yourself to a level. We hear the word, you know, those beautiful sounds we heard before. We hear Om, the One, the sound of the One.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are tune up to these patterns, and perhaps we'll have a chance to talk about what they are, and of course they're demonstrated in the Christ consciousness, where the perfect patterns of being, particularly through Jesus, were demonstrated for the individual. And if you follow this pattern, your world, your life, on all planes, materially, spiritually, everywhere, unfolds perfectly, because you have linked in, you know, to that rhythm that is really the blissful rhythm of the universe. So, you know, the great poet Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he would say that the universe sits in smiling repose. What's the problem then? You know? So the problem is the separation.
Right.
Or the belief that we are separate from this great power and this great force that, you know, animates all of life. And so once we can start to get beyond our own limited concepts of ourself, and look out into the universe of being to see what is, and begin to get interest in the laws and principles of the universe, which are all based on divine love, order, wholeness, completeness, all of them, the laws of attraction, you know, all the laws we hear about, you know,
right.
There are principles and laws, and when you lock into them, when you are, you know, harmonious with these, it's like sounding a chord in the universe. Everything goes on the great hum, you know. Everything is working for you. And yet, when you are in separation, or think you're never separate, you're never separate from one iota of this universe, but we can think that we are. So, you know, they said there's only one problem, a feeling of separation.
Right.
And there's only one solution, unifying. Consciously
right.
Reunifying. So when you look at these divine patterns, and for instance, with body, body, the temple, you know, our physical temple of God, our car on earth here, you know, our transport,
right.
You know, body is the microcosm and the macrocosm. So you think about the orderliness of the planets. You know, the sun comes up every day, there's a rhythm, there's a magnetic field set, you know, everything works together to create the wonderful experience that we have. The sun comes up, the moon comes up, you know, there's order in this universe. The body is like that, it's like a symphony. And, you know, it is the perfect ideas for body are perfect function, perfect circulation, you know, a perfect workingness of all things as the light of God flows through it. So when you know, for instance, even if you don't feel it, you know, first you have to start knowing there is something greater, you know, than
exactly
what I have believed. You have to be willing to step off the restriction of belief, because only a belief in separation holds you separate from what you are. You know, no one's going to force you to become one. That's something we'll have to come to in our own way, you know. But with body, so, you know, something goes awry. You know, you cut your finger, let's say, and then suddenly 3 days later that finger is well, you know. If it wasn't too severe a cut, you didn't need to go to the doctor. Something in you is already moving to heal, because every principle is on wholeness. So body is self-healing, if only we would know that and allow for it. It can get over traumas, you know, you hear all kinds of things. If only
right.
we know that and recognize it. So then, you know, when you're up against something or some part of body is out, you know, or is not working, you know that everything within the body represents some part of the perfect workingness. Our heart, the perfection of divine love. You know, did you know that heart is on the spiritual plane, on the metaphysical plane, heart is that embodiment. And so what do we do with the rough experiences that come to us, the painful experiences? We take those poisonous experiences, like poison blood that gets cleaned out as it moves through the heart, and we turn it to divine love. No matter how it comes in, we are the alchemist, and we turn it to love through whatever tool, forgiveness. Well, there's all kinds of tools.
Right.
And if you've chosen love as your goal, to be the embodiment of divine love, even as Jesus and all great masters tell us, you know, this is the greatest aspiration, because in that is all your good. If you can do that, material plane, no problem. You know, everything follows the condition of love, right? But you think about the Venus, turning the Venus blood to that love, you know, and passing it through you and out. And those are the experiences. So we don't have to ingest them and allow poison into ourselves through anger, bitterness, hatred, and so on. And when these feelings, I've now skipped actually, you know, to talk about the emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
But there are prototypes, okay? So the prototype for the physical body, just to finish this up, is perfect workingness. There is no thing called age, disease, disorder. That's totally man-created. It, you know, the body could sustain itself forever if the spiritual being utilizing the body wasn't running rack and ruin all over it with negative thoughts and everything else, right? So it is up to us to recognize that this potential for perfection still exists, no matter how far awry or sick or however far awry you've gone. You know, if something is out, one of my favorite statements is, you know, my body is one with the body of God. You know?
Yeah.
My heart is one with the heart of God. My mind is one with the infinite knower of the universe. You know? So that if something goes wrong, I link myself up, and I know that what the divine pattern is for myself, that there should be, you know, if people who have arthritis, let's say, they don't have flexibility, well, that's not a God idea. The God idea for arms and legs is mobility, flexibility, expression, and so on. So when you're stuck, let's say, physically, something happens and you can't move your arm, let's say. So the thing to do, other than doing reasonable right action on the outside, you know, to visit your doctor, whatever, but much more important is to immediately give thanks that your arm is perfect, you have the mobility, your agility. You put the divine prototype right out there. And I love gratitude. It's the greatest form of prayer, because it's not, please, please, God, you know. It's not separating yourself. It's an acknowledgement that you are one with this power and force which is present for you. And you are engaging this force, you know, in this case, for a physical healing. But let's understand that when we put prototypes in front of the mind, it's a mirror, and that engages the subconscious to act on our behalf. So say if things are out of order, the first thing you should ask to yourself is, you know, well, what is the divine idea for harm? What is it anyway? You know, in this way you're actually stimulating within yourself that idea of perfection that is in there. And just like, you know, gives a pattern out there, you know, for arm to make adjustments to what you are giving thanks for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So we want to keep these prototypes because there's so much in us that says, well, you know, death is an inevitable and aging and all of this stuff, you know, not living. You know, from the moment you're born, still, you're getting all of this, you know, buy your insurance, do this, do that. You know, instead of teaching you how to live and be.
Right.
And to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're learning entirely other things. So, but I promise that whoever is listening, if they have a physical condition, if you will begin to think about what would your condition look like healed, and start to give thanks that that is coming forth. You don't have to worry how, because everything works according to your word and your expectation. But, you know, think about those divine patterns. And we saw it, you know, in Jesus, you know, after all this torture and everything, there he is again. You know? You know what I mean? So there is that within us, which is the eternal, right?
Right.
And so all the things that we have placed in ourselves don't need to be there. And
exactly. You
want to cultivate that livingness, you know. And for emotions, what is the ultimate state that we know? It is love God and love your fellow man. You know, love you one another even as I have loved you. And love is the power of life. You know, you hatred cannot produce life. It produces congestion, division, and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one gets well. No one benefits. So if you know that that is the divine state of existence, is love, peace, bliss, all the time, imperturbable being, if that is the state, then you must be willing to relinquish anything less than that and be willing, humble enough, you know, to your own very own greatness, the possibility of greatness in you, to sacrifice those lower emotions, be willing to observe them when they come up, you know, oh, there I go, I'm, you know, getting angry again about whatever, you know, and then make a decision to do whatever it takes to heal that in love, because it is never a situation doing it to you. It is never a person doing it to you. It is your response about a thing. And that you can change, you know. So why you have the power to change that? Because you are not your body. You are not your feelings. You are not your thoughts. You are that which is behind all. And the human being has the exalted capacity to be able to self-observe and change. Right? So we want to, you know, we want to know when our violin is out of tune. If we want the greater, and why wouldn't anybody want the greater, you know, that the synchronous existence brings all good to you, so much joy, so many gifts and abilities open up naturally, not by force, not by willing, but just by stepping in tune with the highest and best in you, which is reflective of the universe. So, you know, this, if you know that your goal for emotions is to achieve perfect love to the best of your ability, then that means no matter what. It's not a wishy-washy, you know. Not just sometimes, but all the time in every condition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a test. You know, it's like an athlete has to really work out. If you want the goods, you know, one has to really work out and make commitments that are meaningful. And when, you know, when does one do this? When things are rosy and so, oh, everything's so wonderful and so nice, you know. It's, you know, easy to be appreciative. But how about in the midst of it all, you know? In the midst of it all, to make the highest choice, that's what evolves you. That's what gets you beyond, you know, gets one beyond. And so important. Now, when you move into love, and anybody, you can see, anybody who's listening, you can see that anytime you've been out of sorts in your life, then everything sort of, it just doesn't gel, it doesn't go right. But when, at whatever point you get back into a state of love and well-being and feeling one with persons, places, and things, isn't it amazing how much better it is? How much, then suddenly things start to flow because you've touched that chord of harmony, you know, and everything is flowing right. Everything is everything seems blessed. Everything is so much brighter, so much elevated. And so it's from this point of love, unity, living from the divine patterns that so many great, you know, the Christ consciousness is a state of being. He put forward the most perfect prototypes of being. He put forward the law, as you believe, you receive. Right? So that's why we have to be so vigilant that we are thinking the thoughts of God in the secret place within. So when, you know, you want to know about the universe and about yourself, what God knows to be true about you. Or one, I use you in the generic sense, that we want to be thinking truth, principle, all the time. That's the goal. So there's no falsehood, no diminished thought. Like you said, go for the gold. You can have it all. It just depends how much you should want more. You know, you should want to experience the limitlessness, you know, the limitlessness that we, in fact, we are. And like you said, you know, riding a bike, well, you never thought you could ride that bike. Or when you're 3 years old and you get on it, or two or however early, it seems like, wow, this is humongous and huge, and my goodness, you know. And you get on, you fall off, and then, but pretty soon, you know, you're skateboarding, you know, in the Olympics, flying up the handle up into the heavens, suspending
right.
yourself midair. You know, so there is no limit, and we see it in front of us all the time. So it depends upon what you want to cultivate. But if you follow the path of refining yourself, you know, to be willing, say, to be willing to be humble, not to problems, not to difficulties, not to negatives, but humble to the greater that is, then you open yourself to influx. Like when you say God or whatever you use, you know, infinite mind, or, you know, help me overcome X situation, and your desire is to overcome and to be given a tool, you will receive. So the infinite is totally there for you. If there's a limitation, that, you know, one of the things that Bridge of the Gods deals with is chronic conditions, how to overcome chronic conditions. You know, there's all kinds of tools in there and wonderful meditations. And those are those things that just keep repeating and repeating and repeating, like a broken record, you know, in different clothes and so on. And we want to be able to transcend those chronic patterns, because they're only a pattern. They're only a habit. They don't belong to us, and we can throw them off through higher tools. But in order to be able to do this, one has to be willing to realize, gee, I'm in this chronic pattern, which is the first step of freedom, to realize this is going on, you know, and I need to be able to change it.
And that's very hard for a lot of to realize that, because they have so much programming going on a lot
yes.
of times that it's hard for them to realize that they don't have to be in the spaces that they're in a lot of times.
That's right. That's right. And it's just, you know, it's just very sad, because there is great potential for everyone. And, you know, the horizon is infinite. And so my, you know, for me, the greatest thing is liberating people, you know, liberating people from those notions of obstacles, blocks, limitations, I can't, and so on. And we've all had those feelings, which is fine to have, but they're just a feeling. It doesn't make it real. It is just a feeling that one has. But if you know that I'm having this feeling, but I also know there is something greater in me that can, when you think you can't, but I know there is something greater in me that can, then you're on the way out of the issue. You're already on the way out of overcoming. So you need the desire to get past whatever the negative pattern is. And once again, a pattern, you know, a negative pattern is only that it's not in the wholeness. It's a thought in mind, a belief. You can only get so much and you can't get any more. You have to make do. You know, we've heard all these sayings, you know, whatever they are. But none of that is true. People are not taught in spiritual ways of not harming anyone or taking from anyone, to manifest. You have the power to manifest very constructively all that you need and want, and then some, in very constructive ways. So, you know, my book goes into, all my books really deal with all of this, because I think that the main thing for me is the liberation, you know, from the bondage, to realize how wonderful it can be, and there is a way, and the door is always open, and you don't have to have been on the mountain for, you know, thousands of years to avail yourself. I would say God is very near and dear, you know, and I believe in walking the talk. So, you know, there are, and practical application, you know, in all things, small and large in your life, you know, we should be applying these the principles. And it's in my book, it's set out. But the whole thing, when you get to, I know in the article that you wrote, Jesse, you talked about the synchronizing, not being all. And you're absolutely right, because it's only the beginning of the glory. You know, so, but there are definitely ways to consciously tune yourself up when, you know, when one has fallen out of sorts, there are ways to step back in and, you know, into the rhythm and into the harmony and, you know, and to get past those beliefs. And any belief that contains a restriction, like it's a truth, you know, like you can't do this or you can't do that, or, you know, any belief that contains any restriction is not of truth. It's just something that was taught at the time the child came in, or the particular environment, you know, religion or culture. There's tremendous influence upon the innocent that comes in. But, you know, as much as we dive into it, then we've got to dive out. And that's called individualizing. Individualizing, mm-hmm. Becoming who you are. And, you know, I thought that people often think, gee, well, if I go spiritual, I get into the oneness, I'm going to lose who I am.
Well, and you, I know, think people, too, about, you know, how does that whole concept of independence work with unification? You know, they worry about the fact, well,
about,
first of all, you've got a lot of people who aren't comfortable being on their own or stepping away from the crowd or that programming. But that really is where you connect, is when you're able to step away and stand in the truth of what is versus what you're being told or programmed to believe. And then I feel that, you know, that's where you actually can create and find that merging with God, God's self, in there.
Well,
and,
exactly.
And it can be a confusing term for sometimes, you know, sometimes people, because they're saying, well, you know, doesn't the Bible say we should, you know, go out there and be there for other people, and we should join, and we should do this, and we should do that. And and so I think there's definitely some confusion that stirs, and there's some hesitancy about being independent. And being independent is not always about being alone. I mean, actually, you have...
No, it is not. And there is much more independence. A good, nice word to think of is interdependence. That this is an interdependent universe. Not, you know, everything is connected. So what I say and do affects everybody, everything, every atom of being to some degree, right? So we are connected to all things. Whether we believe it or not, it's true. But there are no duplicates in the universe. There are no duplicate thumbprints. There are no duplicate eye prints. Everybody is a unique individualization ray of God, the divine. You know? So when you understand that you can be who you are and yet not be hypnotized by whatever the trend of the time is. You know, so there, and there's, you know, things that are true are forever true. Is there ever a time to not be love in God? Is there ever a time, you know, it's sort of like a rhetorical question. Would there ever be a time? It's never recommended to not be loved.
Right.
You know, and in this instance, it's okay to be, you know, hate. No, it just never works. So
right,
you know, so the truth does not change, and the truth is there for everyone, and the truth is eternal. Human opinions change, beliefs change, but the truth goes on being itself and is not touched at all. So I can think, you know, I could say, well, my will is better than the way the universe does it. You know, my will is better. So I go exert my will, and maybe I get, you know, I get to, you know, think that I've gotten some power over something, right? But it falls apart.
Right.
It falls apart. It's inevitable. So why not align my will with the divine will?
And
then I get,
you know,
to have my good and perfect right ways. And I,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the book, I think I talked about the Ten Commandments, all, you know, the thou shalt not, you know. But what about the thou shalt?
Exactly.
But you don't use your uniqueness. What happens, though, is that you have clarity, and you are making determinations from your own center within yourself, you know, of what you want to create for your life. And if you make the choice to create, you know, to tune up to be a living embodiment of the wholeness that is, the, you know, the unity that is, and you're committed to that, you're going to be expressing that everywhere in everything that you do. And you're going to find that, you know, there's such wonderful reciprocity in the universe. So that God is the need, and the need perfectly met. So when you're in feeling in harmony, you know, you absolutely know, because it's only one, that when you want something, you know, whatever it may be. I remember one Thanksgiving, I, you know, all the stores were closed, and I just wanted to have a rose for my mother, right? It was Thanksgiving Day, and I just thought, I just really want to be able to have this rose. No store in sight, out in the country, you know. I said, well, there's got to be a rose around. So I get in the car, and I just drive up the lane, and there's a guy with, you know, these huge, most beautiful roses you've ever seen, you know, in the middle of November in the cold. So just manifested, but really not just, because I was propelled by love. I just wanted to bring, I just felt that I wanted her to have that. And so that was a motive of love, right? Now,
right, exactly.
The guy just appeared right there. So, you know, and so you see how love is such a glue. And it is a magnet. And, you know, he probably just materialized at that moment. And they're the most gorgeous roses. And so inexpensive, I couldn't believe it, you know. But that's with the power of that, you know, that love. And underneath that was also the belief, well, if I feel this, then, you know, it's got to be there, even though all the stores are closed and everybody's having Thanksgiving dinner right now. You know, I just felt it had to be there. So this is the need and the need met. You know, so you think of the many names of God, you know, love, courage, strength, faith, light, you know, all the many names of God. So in that case, my faith was, you know, perfect because I know the law. I know when I need something, there is also somewhere a person at the same time or place or condition that is, you know, it's like when a home, you have a home to sell, there is a perfect person who wants to buy that instantaneously at the time, the reciprocity, at the time when you want to sell it. So
yes.
if we knew that this is the way it really is, what happens is when you do come up against something, you can immediately step into acknowledging this principle of unity, you know, that expresses in the many different ways. And people can relate, needing a parking space is a law of circulation. That's a law of the universe. And, you know, so everything has to circulate. So, you know, you're driving and you want a parking space, you know one's going to open up for you. How do we know that? Because we know on a deeper level that there is this law of circulation. There is the law of the need and need met. There is the law of attraction. Like attracts like. Meaning.
Exactly.
Like and the internal thought. And it's all based on principles of wholeness. So if you think of this universe as a great system of wholeness and love, no matter what you see, you have to know that love is the engine of life. So if you know that, no matter what happens, what takes place, you know that you will be able to address it because the tools are already inherent in the universe and in the fact that you're one, and all you have to do is plug in. You know, you're sitting in the dark. Well, let's say you have a low-lit lamp, right? You put a bulb in there, but the bulb is really low-lit. Well, just put a higher wattage bulb in. And suppose you're sitting in the dark, but you just haven't plugged it in, you know? You haven't plugged the plug in. So you have to consciously plug in, is what I'm saying, to what is. And start to think in terms of the wholeness, the peace, the beauty that surrounds, and don't be distracted by all the stuff and the issues and the problems. Everything has come to be overcome by the greatness of the light, the God light, the divine self. And through, you know, knowing this, you will find your answer to whatever it is, either an existent principle. So I always encourage people, get to know the laws and principles of the universe, you know, get to know what they are, so that you can plug in, you know, want to know more about what is rather than, you know, one's opinion from their small life experience. You know, how we sort of put ourselves in a box and can say, well, that's it. This defines me. This is what I am. But is it really? You know, because truth is not the potential, divine potential, the potential to bring out the rose and the seed, the divine you, the I am eternal of you, the light within, is not a special case thing. You know, anybody who wants to can receive, and God doesn't care about your resume. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So anybody, no matter where you are at any point, it's like you can start where you're at. And the book my books help a lot, you know, to be able to start with things you're addressing right now, you know, issues where you can apply practical ways to alchemize your situation, to transform it, to be the wholeness, peace, light, and love that it was always meant to be. So, you know, hopefully my intention to write these books was to give ways that are really practical. The books are very mystical, but they are very practical. So that there's always an exercise or there's always a meditation where after reading something, you can really incorporate it, you know, very, very specifically to whatever issue you may be confronting at any time. And it will help you to heal that.
Right, and there are a lot of great points in your book. I did actually have somebody in chat that was asking why it is that we're not taught more to look within and synchronize. And, you know, do you have maybe a technique for synchronizing more?
Well, I think that, you know, what I've been saying is really what is, we have to do the work. You know, each one of us, if we haven't, you know, each one of us has our own mountain to climb. And then once you've reached the summit, then lo and behold, there's another, you know, aspiration
right.
comes up. But the way to synchronize is very practically what I said, you know, align consciously. This takes conscious effort because, you know, you may be fuming and yet you've made a commitment that you choose to be divine love. So you have to find some way to do it, to find something good about the circumstance that will allow, you know, thoughts precede feelings, okay? So when you say it's a great day, your whole body lights up and says, yes, it is, right?
Right.
So feelings just don't come over us like a great mystery, and they're not something that we can't control or that we can't change or alter. They are caused by a negative thought, a disturbing thought. And so you want to set objectives for yourself. You know, in answer to this question, set objectives, set the big objectives, get the whole pie, decide that you want to, you know, become that infinite love that you can be, and then you have to walk the talk. It means giving up the lesser for the greater, right? It means being
right.
willing to self-observe and to notice when we've gotten off key and maybe we couldn't fix it, you know, in the moment that it happened, but you can always fix it in hindsight and make a promise next time this comes up, I'm going to, you know, do something new that is in alignment with the divine self, right? That's in alignment with the highest and best in you, which would be that divine self, the I am of you, which is perfect love. Now, if you're struggling with body, people manifest, you know, different areas too where they have difficulties. When we think of body, we think of physical body and body. We also call it the conditions outside us in, you know, the body of conditions. Because mind produces the conditions. So if you're having physical problems, then you want to dwell, like I said, on the divine patterns of the universe. You know, what is the perfect idea for any part of body that you're thinking about? you know, dwell in those ideas, because if all of you, if you just engage in I got a problem, you're making more of it. But the instant you step out to look at those patterns of wholeness, completeness, perfect function, perfect order, or you think of yourself in the, if you were healed, what would that look like? What would that look like? So really what it is, you're through your issue, you are cultivating your own self, and then simply to begin to give thanks that you are that. You know, if you go to sleep and your back is hurting, just give thanks. My back is perfect when I get up, you know. And automatically, something is going to work while you're resting. You know, the law itself is engaged in causing healing to go on. And you are helping God or the law and the great powers that are to help you through your gratitude in advance of the situation, in advance of it. So, you know, there are perfect healing, and we all know that. And I'm not saying don't go to doctors, because, you know, who amongst us has reached such a level? But I can tell you that if you work at it and you know the truth that body can and does heal itself, that no condition has to be permanent and so on, then you can keep giving thanks for your perfected state and you will see it more and more. And you will see it more and more come about. So practically, you want to. How do you get in alignment? By attuning yourself to what is, by making those efforts to tune yourself to the wholeness, completeness, and to walk the talk and make the choice. You know, when you're hurting the most physically, you turn away from that appearance, you turn within, you go within and into the holy place in you, and give thanks for the perfect healing and describe what it would look like. That's right in the midst. You know, once it was told me by a doctor said that if you could get a burn victim, you know, right away, you know, before it had, you know, progressed, like somebody caught in a fire or whatever, and would tell them that they are perfect, whole, and complete, the body would immediately start to heal itself. You know? So
right.
the possibility of the repairing mechanism in us is so great, but we're sluggish. We think, oh, that's impossible. You know? And so if we say it, it becomes impossible temporarily for us, so long as we say it's impossible. You know, because that's the law. Our word creates our experience. But it doesn't mean that it's impossible. It just means that temporarily we have made it that way. So I said, you'd be very interested. It's so wonderful. Why wouldn't we want to know, you know, more about who and what we really are? How could we ever have any greater models than all the saints, sages, avatars, Jesus, high consciousness, you know, the leaders are with us and have shown us, you know. But again, it's got to be made practical. And no, we're not taught to how to cultivate, unless, you know, you're fortunate to be born into a family of yogis or you know, very risen people who understand the laws of mind, who understand that your thought is causing your world and you cannot change it, you know. And unless you know somebody has given you this information, you're going to ultimately have to seek it yourself. And why aren't we given the information? Well, I would guess, you know, people would not be so happy if everybody was so free. Some people. Because the jig would be up. You know, the game would be over.
Sure.
But
sure, that to take responsibility for themselves and not control others. And so, you know,
well,
if everybody...
Well, yeah, but more than that, you know, people have a notion that, you know, you have to be in some type of position of power over someone. So the group mind tries to control. When I make these statements, I really mean about those who are unrisen, because there are so many that are risen and realize the devastation of wanting to control others, you know. But there is, you know, the mass thing of, you know, follow the elephants falling around in the tail. And, you know, people prosper off other people's ignorance. Don't they?
Oh, definitely.
You know? Yeah. So that's an unfortunate thing. But, you know, we don't want to be, you know, it said there's no victims, it's only volunteers. Well, I don't volunteer, do you? You know, and I, you know, the thing is, if you're free, you know that you can create. You don't need, you can create what you want in right and perfect ways. Through consciousness itself, you know, your consciousness becomes, and your knowledge of the way the universe works in harmony, the laws and principles that undergird this universe, your knowledge of the divine patterns for body, for feelings, for thoughts. You know, do you think God says I can't? Or whatever, you know, word. If you don't have to believe in God, you can believe that God is the highest aspect of your own self, you know. But if you can step in to this harmony and realize that freedom can be yours, and just go step by step, you know, deal with the issue that's in front of you now. And when you have arrived at it, in other words, attuned to knowing about your situation, what God itself knows about your situation, then you will no longer have need of that situation. You know, so congestion problems and all that are just signifying that there is something we need to heal.
Right,
they're
exactly.
They're not there forever. They're just to call your attention. And there is a law of reflection. So, you know, if you're conflicted within about something, you say, well, I believe that I can, but I don't think I can. <You know?
laughs> Right,
so
exactly.
You get close and then it doesn't happen. But it's only the law of reflection. It's not some force working against you, you know, because it's just a law demonstrating to you, oh, gee, I have conflicting thoughts. So let me step into God's idea for me here, you know. I say that if it isn't true for God or the great allness or whatever your name for the entirety of being is, it isn't true for you. So truth is not just true for some people,
mm-hmm.
and not true for others. In other words, everyone can prosper perfectly, understanding
right.
how prosperity thoughts work. The universe
right.
knows itself to be, you know, and so that's the key, that everyone can. And, you know, nobody, nothing in the universe stands against you. Everything says yes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and we'll find ways and means. The ways and means are created just by the law of mind. And I might add heart, because feeling is your motivation. So the more love, the more, you know, enthusiasm, the more life force there is in your feeling, life, the more power. It gives velocity to your demonstration. So I wanted that rose. I really wanted that for some reason. And there it was. You know, and it was very quick. Very quick, because there's nothing in me saying, well, you know, no stores are open today. There's not going to be anybody out there, you know.
Right, exactly.
Nothing in me said that, right? So I got my demonstration. So faith is acceleration. You know, unity is also acceleration. And I said the unity to realize everything works together for your good. If you would let and know that, and you are never alone.
Well, and you've got some meditations that you were going to do, or a meditation or a couple of meditations that you were going to do with us tonight. And I wanted to give you the chance to go ahead and delve into that and give our
yes.
listeners the opportunity to experience that.
Right. Well, yes. I have my other book is that just came out as Songs of Eternity, Contemplations, Treatments, and Meditations on the Word of God. And really, I called it Songs of Eternity because songs are like psalms. And these are, what these are they're, the words of the soul are very musical. And so these are short instructions in every subject, like divine fulfillment, creation, romance, immortality. Every subject you can think of is in this book, and each one has like a short introduction, and then that introduction is followed by a meditation for grounding, and it's grounding it within you. And it's in the I am form, because I am is the purity of the God self in you. And so I'd like to read, I thought since we were talking about synchronicity, I thought I'd like to read one on synchronicity and simultaneous being. Synchronicity and simultaneous being. And the mantra, quote, each one has one, is, my faith is justified. So this is the first part, the instruction. Beloved, in God, all is immediate, for all is one. There is never any need to wait for any good thing, nor is there any truth to separation, distance, or time anywhere. Through your unity with the divine and all of life, you may practice synchronistic existence, where your thought of any good thing becomes the thing even as you think of it. Harmony and unity is your gateway to lofty and blissful existence. Be in harmony with the universe, as the infinite is within itself. Trust to the divine promise that when you love, indeed you are one with all that is. As you think, you manifest. God manifests the entire universe with one pure, all-inclusive thought. And now here's the meditation, which the way the book is set up. you can speak or say to yourself and get quiet within so that it can sink down into the roots of your being. Meditation, synchronicity, and simultaneous being. I am that I am. And right now I declare I am one with the wide universe of divine circulation. I live in ultimate harmony and profound connection with all that is. I move in concert with the great tapestry of being, and I touch my own at every point. Invisible patterns and subtle strands of unified being align me near and far. There is no space nor time between me and my own. I rejoice that when I speak, worlds of good spontaneously appear. Yes, I am one. I am thought. I am thing. I am spontaneous, joyous manifestation. I am all in all. I am that I am in me is the way and the life of richest fulfillment. Right now, as I muse upon a vast universe of good, that which is next for my radiant joy appears, shaped out of an infinite sea of love. Yes, divine principle always responds to bless and prosper me. I rejoice that when I speak, I am heard. When I ask, I receive. And when I love, I am one with all that lives. Thank you, God. I am bliss. And so it is.
And that, again, was the synchronicity and simultaneous being.
Yes.
And, you know, really it's interesting to see how that kind of brings things together, how it, you know, really puts our thoughts into that aspect of alignment. And
it does. And when we're always saying, I am this, I am that, you know, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that. We want to get to a place where our word only speaks the truth, you know. And so when you make strong statements like this to yourself, and things will be stimulated within, you know, when you read these meditations to yourself or speak them out loud to yourself, it sinks in, and it does, as you say, it brings everything, whatever is out of alignment will come into alignment because you have stated that you are aligned. So, you see, you've already moved very, very far by making these strong statements. And, you know, so there's a number of things in here that have to do with synchronicity, serendipity, miracle consciousness.
Did you have another one that you could do?
I could. Let me see.
We probably have time for one more.
All right. Let me see if I can find the... Do you want it to be on synchronicity?
Sure.
Okay. Let me see.
Or if there's another one.
Okay. Here's synchronicity, miracle of the sixth sense. I'll read that one also. the actual title of this one, for us and for everyone listening, is The Ultimate Oneness. And then the subtitle is Synchronicity, Miracle of the Sixth Sense. And here's the instruction. Beloved, realize you are one with the great whole of infinite life. And even beyond the greatest good you can conceive, all of heaven's glowing majesty belongs to you. Out of your holy oneness, you may ever command any good thing to come forth, and all resources are ever present, poised to emerge in the instant from the invisible soul strands of one perfect harmonic life in which all are unified on the subtlest planes of existence. Rest on the arms of a loving universe to joyfully and completely fulfill your every request in utmost and perfect right ways. God is the open door, always hearing and responding to you. Instead of thinking of limitations, dwell only upon the supreme capacity and unfailing reservoir. Dwell upon the unlimited connection of the great divine God Self. Let go any concern as you breathe in the elixir of infinite grace, inspiration, faith, and promise, allowing the divine influx to fill your soul, fulfilling you now in ways of limitless ease, peace, harmony, and lavish means beyond compare. Let God's remarkable timing, ways, and means bless you now. You are synchronized now with the highest bound of divine existence. All timing is perfect. Demonstrations are utterly awesome. There is only one, and so it is. Om. Amen. And now, here is the meditation for the ultimate oneness. I am that I am. And right now I declare, I know that I know, that whenever I may need of any good thing, all I need do is recognize the perfection of it all. And by linking up to the one perfect one, for sure, my good is already done. I rejoice as absolute, spontaneous, complete, and whole. My good now springs forth to bless me, to increase me, its riches to unfold. Before me now is the great and the all. I am so happy. I am so free. Neither doubts nor fears come nigh me. I know who I am, and my absolute clarity and unity establishes me in great and most profound demonstrations of God's perfect love and supply right now. I rejoice as God's love fills my soul, and so it is.
And again, both of those were from Dr. Lenda's Songs of Eternity book, which is based on these types of meditations and these understandings of how to connect, how to bring in things and deal and release things that we're struggling with, and bring in the things that are truths, universal truths, soul truths, real truths of the divine. And as she mentioned earlier in the show, this is a an important aspect to separate, you know, not just what we perceive as truth that we've been told, but what is actually true, and the real truth is that which is not restricted to culture, race, person, age, or anything else. It is a truth, simple as that, in there. And Dr. Linda, I know we're kind of winding down here in our show, and, you know, I would like to give you a minute here to just kind of share anything that you might have coming up, or, again, share your website, how people can contact you.
Oh, yes. Well, people should know that my books can be found on Amazon.com. And two websites that are a very good help are the http://www.revdrlindadecoff.com. revdrlindadecoff.com. On that site, you will find a lot of information on Songs of Eternity and my other books, but also I have two programs running, and there's no cost to these, but they're a series of lessons which would be very, very helpful. There's two special series I'm running this year, and the posts are on that site. And one is on Divine Prosperity, Secrets to the Kingdom, and it's 12 steps of raising consciousness so that you're always thinking in terms of the abundance that is. And I might say that prosperity is not only money, it's, you know, fulfillment in relationships, and, you know, it's the whole thing of abundant life. But there are certain stages of consciousness, so the program takes you up the ladder to be able to, again, you know, synchronize your consciousness, harmonize your consciousness with eternal truth. And the other one is on spiritual mind treatment, which is very, very powerful, and helps you to give you more information on what we've been talking about, how to get rid of ideas of the limitation. It helps you to know what principle is, and so on. And very, very practical, easy to read, and really, 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 really helpful. So I recommend people to visit that site, and I also post my activities there and what I'll be doing. And I will have some series coming up on radio and other things, which are you'll find constantly listed there. And you can, you know, ask for me to email you directly with notices, and I'd be just very thrilled to do that. And then my other site is revdrlindadecoff.authorsexpress.com. revdrlindadecoff.authorsexpress.com. Right. And that one is very more devoted exclusively to Bridge of the Gods, giving you the 12 chapter breakdowns, and, you know, overview of the book, and some of the reviews, and so on. So you can pick up a lot of information on that site, too, and I would highly recommend the two of them, revdrlindadecoff.authorsexpress.com and revdrlindadecoff.com. And also, even... I will try to get even our show tonight up, you know, on my site as well, so you can hear it on Jesse's site and on my site. And there are other radio shows you can hear there, too, where you might be get some information that you'd be interested to have. And so I just want to say that, you know, the way is there. The way is there. and you know, go for it. Go for it. Go for the gold.
Go for all of it. That's
go for all of it and do not settle for less. Absolutely. Do not take hamburger when you can have steak. You know, if that's your idea of good. But don't take tin when you can have gold.
Exactly, because spirit or God does not limit itself. It's not limited, and it wants to see us indulge in that abundance as well in our life and to experience that abundance. And
And the joy and the liberty, and then you'll be able to, you know, as when you're really committed, you know, to overcoming what and willing, you know, and committed to walk at the higher path, then you begin to get all these terrific demonstrations in your life. You can then pass it on to go and empower and help somebody else get free from the bondage. And, you know, people have so much they're dealing with. There is so much influx on the news and politics, and the world is very hypnotic and mesmeric. But you do not need to be hypnotized. You can enjoy yourself quite fine, you know, and not be caught up.
Right. Much more enjoyable when you're not being hypnotized. Well, I really want to thank you for your time tonight, because I know it's kind of late where you are back there on the East Coast, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show this evening and have you sharing all these concepts with people and helping us to remember that really it is about the connection, and it really is about creating the synchronicity, and that it's certainly not just possible, but it's existing in our life. We simply have to choose to tap into it and to be with
that
truth.
It's a great blessing in this life, you know, to come into touch with the truth. It's a great, great blessing. So you know, I hope for everyone that you know, they get that fire of spirit, you know, because it's wonderful to be dropping chains left and right.
It definitely is. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight, Dr. Linda. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Jesse. I appreciate it so much, too, and thank you for the work that you're doing for everyone. It's wonderful, and I just thank you so much.
All right, thank you. And next week, I am going to be having Bill Sweet on the show. And Bill is going to be discussing with us his work and how prayer works in our lives, favorably and unfavorably. And we will be discussing his work, A Journey into Prayer. And he has a big variety of background as well with him. And so it's interesting. I think a lot of times we have reserved prayer or seen prayer as something that we do specifically at a church, but there are different ways to pray, and it's not limited to just going into a church and praying in a traditional religious format. Also, keep in mind my next set of books, which is based on relationships. I am working on getting those out. That is in the publishing process, and so I'm looking forward to bringing that through to you as soon as possible. And it takes a look on different things of how the masculine and feminine energy roles play into our relationships, no matter what sex that we are born into. I've got still a couple of events left that can be signed up for, and that is my August special. Is I am running my workshops at greatly reduced rates. They're available for $75, which is a little over half off, while there's still a couple of spaces available for the two that are coming up next weekend. And you simply can go to jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com, select the workshops that you're interested in. You do have to register by the Wednesday or Thursday, depending on which one you're looking at. And they are offered in Cedar City, Utah. And you just will put in promotion code 777 when you sign up for that.
Also, there's a lot of different ways to connect with me between Facebook, LinkedIn. You can see those links there at the bottom of the show description. And if you'd like to find out more about the work I'm doing in compassion, connect with me, check out my blog, purchase the books or services that I offer. There's archived shows, video tips, all kinds of things on my website. You can check that out at JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1, that's the number one, .com. And it's got not only my show, but all the other shows here on Main Street Universe on that website as well, so you can look up the other hosts in addition to my work. Again, it's all listed at the bottom of the show description. My books are available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com for paperback, or actually just Amazon for the paperback, and then Barnes & Noble and Smashwords for ebook versions of that. So those are definitely things. I've also started providing some online courses and experiences at very affordable rates, and I'm doing those where they work with the cycles of the year, like moon cycles, mini versions of my workshops, things like that. And what's really great, if you've missed any of those, you can actually go back and go ahead and purchase the recording and still take advantage of that. The next workshop I have coming up is on Tuesday evening, 7:45 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and that is going to be a full moon honoring. So you might want to take a look at that. It's just $10 to participate in that, so very, very affordable. Most of the online workshops are around the $10 to $25 range to participate in those. And then you have unlimited access to that course, and you can just go back and catch it afterwards. You can look at the courses that are available. There's about 30, 35 different courses there, and they're at www.learnitlive.com/invite, that's I-N-V-I-T-E, /Jessie Ann Nichols George. I've also got the Jessie's Quantum Club that you can discover more at through jessiesquantumclub.eventbrite.com. Don't forget that we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights we have Darren Bouguer, who is a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck, a deck that he created himself, which you can learn more about at www.templeofgaia.com. And now on Tuesdays, we have Susan Weed, who is sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. Wednesday nights, we have our flagship show with Daniel, Janice, and Brett, and that is called Main Street Universe. Sometimes they have guests, sometimes they're discussing different topics. Thursdays, we have Queen Mother Amaku discussing her work in Egyptian culture. And, of course, Friday nights is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. And don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, to share it with others. It will be available at the same link in our archive. And I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shem Shai. And thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind and to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change and tide. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see it eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand. In the balance of God and man.
deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for.
Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Over and over.